Okay, so you just heard He's a Rebel by the Crystals, and before that was He Hit Me and It Felt Like a Kiss, the one that was banned. I couldn't find information about where it was banned and the controversy with that song. And before that was Uptown. Spector made millions of dollars off of the singles by the Crystals. And just a side note, He's a Rebel was the very first song that I learned how to play on the guitar. I think I was like 13 or something. So that song is just very special to me. I spent way too much money on a like 45 pick sleeve of the Crystals' He's a Rebel, but it's a beautiful pick sleeve. So, Spector was a millionaire at the age of 21, which was, I guess, at this point, after those first singles of There's No Other Like My Baby and Uptown and He Hit Me and He's a Rebel by the Crystals, which is a shame that his father wasn't there to be a part of it. If you remember, his father committed suicide when Phil was, I think, about 9. Let's see. So I think what I'm going to do is play about 3 more songs by different artists that Spector created some hits with. And then I'll go into some stuff of his later career and a little bit about his personality, which is quite infamous. So the next song that I'm going to play is Home of the Brave by Bonnie and the Treasures, which, quite frankly, I'm not really crazy about the song, but it was a gift, was given as a gift to me by someone who is close to me and who's inspired and influenced me a lot when it comes to music. So, and he's quite fond of it, or at least he says it's grown on him. So I'm going to play this song for him, but for people who are listening, I'm not a huge fan of the song. It's a little over the top for me, but again, it is a Spector song, and it may have been a hit. I'm not sure. So here we go with Home of the Brave by Bonnie and the Treasures.
Come to school no more.
No more.
hardly ever thank the stars above for sending me your very precious love. You'll never hear me say a prayer, but thanks to someone way up there who gave me such a lucky break. Oh no, darling, only with every breath I take, and every time we have to be apart, I hardly ever find you in my heart. When it comes to thinking of the thought of losing all your love, I never worry how my heart would end. Oh no, darling, only with every little breath I take, only with every little step I make, only with every little beat of my heart. We'll be right back.
Okay. You just heard The Crystals and He Kissed Me. Before that was Gene Pitney, Every Breath I Take. And then before that was Home of the Brave, Bonnie and the Treasures. So just a couple of more hits for you to hear by Phil Spector, the producer. There is a claim that Phil Spector deliberately recorded an unreleasable song called The Screw in order to cheat his former partner out of royalties. The story goes that Spector lost a lawsuit, and the guy he lost it to demanded the royalties to the next Crystals record as compensation. So Spector recorded a little ditty in which a man says the title over and over and pressed up a couple of copies, a neat little revenge. So here we go, Dance the Screw, Part 1.
Let's Dance the Screw, Part 1.
Let's do it. Come on and do it. To the right, to the left. Now front, now back. Come on and do.
Dance the Screw. Dance the Screw. Dance the Screw.
Let's do it. Come on and do it. To the right. To the left. Now front, now back. Come on and do it.
Dance the Screw. 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 Dance the Screw.
That was Let's Dance the Screw Part 1 by the Beloved Crystals. I'm sorry I can't tell you who the man was in the background. I would like to think it was Phil, but I'm not sure who was in the background. So in January 1963, Phil Spector went into the studio with Phil's best-selling act, The Crystals, along with pianist Michael Spencer and two other musicians to record a Spector-penned tune entitled Let's Dance the Screw Part 1. The chorus and verse were repeated over and over for close to 6 minutes. What I played you is about 4 minutes, and that I got off a friend of mine, 45. So I'm not sure why it says 6 minutes, or maybe it was cut. And the results were pressed as a record labeled Phil's 111. The B-side was, of course, Let's Dance the Screw Part 2. Another 6 minutes of the same thing. A copy of said record, stamped DJ copy, not for sale, was duly delivered to Lester Sill, who was the man who was suing Phil for royalties. The legend surrounding this act of musical revenge is that as part of his legal settlement with Spector, Lester Sill was awarded the royalties from the sales of Next Phil's single. By deliberately creating an unreleasable product, the tale went Spector had screwed his former partner out of any additional money. Let's see. The record was not intended for release, as the only person who received a copy was Lester Sill. A few other copies are known to exist, making Let's Dance the Screw one of the rarest of record collectibles. As I said, my friend in Chicago, Mr. Wickles, who's given me a lot of my music, I'm not sure if his is an original pressing or what it is, a bootleg, but it exists. The fact that Spector reused the same label number 111 for his next Phil's release, Darlene's Love, Today I Met the Boy I'm Gonna Marry, also indicates that Let's Dance the Screw was never considered an official Phil's release, even as a pretense. If Let's Dance the Screw wasn't intended as a royalty-killing non-seller, then what was the point? Perhaps nothing more than the obvious, as Lester Sill noted, he wanted to get me. That was him saying, fuck you, buddy. A similar story is true about the Rolling Stones, though. When the Stones decided to leave Decca Records and start their own label, Rolling Stones Records, in 1970, Decca informed them that their contract obligated them to deliver one more single. The Stones dutifully complied by handing over the unreleasable Schoolboy Blues, also known as Cocksucker Blues. So that's a little information for you. That kind of a little bit explains or gives you an understanding of Phil's personality. He worked with the Beatles and John Lennon, Leonard Cohen, the Righteous Brothers, Ike and Tina Turner, and the list goes on, but the magic was no longer there. In 1969, he had a brief cameo as a drug dealer in Easy Rider. His time had passed, and time itself had passed him by. Spector was almost 30. So I'm going to finish off my set with playing Baby I Love You by the Ronettes, which was, I think, probably early 60s. I don't have the date. But I'm going to follow it with Baby I Love You by the Ramones. In 79, Phil Spector produced the Ramones album End of the Century, which was released, I think, in 1980. And I'm going to just read a little bit from the Ramones. Spector was against recording anything he had previously done, but at the urging of the band, Sire Label, Head Seymour Stein, and Brian Wilson from the Beach Boys, who was also a great lover of Phil Spector, he agreed to produce a cover of Baby I Love You for End of the Century. Despite Joey's terrific vocal, the Ramones version unfortunately comes perilously close to disco to make for entirely comfortable listening for most of their fans, and the slick production and string overwhelm the song's natural charm. Consequently, it's easily the most divisive and disliked song on the album, and it's arguably my most favorite song on the album, but what do I know? Dee Dee Ramone was equally intrigued by the record, especially in hindsight. Now I realize more and more, commented the bassist in February of 2002, with time, Joey's voice had a real deep, deep part of the Ramones sound. and really that started with End of the Century. I think Phil Spector and Joey were a great combination. Phil brought out the romanticism in Joey. He was like a romantic guy, and some of the songs and productions on End of the Century pushed that. And Baby I Love You on End of the Century, I never thought there would be a string section on the Ramones record, but I liked it. That was Dee Dee Ramone. Regarding the cover of Baby I Love You, Johnny Ramone, who was the asshole of the band, for people who don't know, offers a different point of view. Yeah, I wanted to do a Phil Spector song. I realized that it was a mistake, and to me, it was the worst thing we have ever done in our career. So I'm going to play those two songs for you now, and then I'm going to come back and let you know what Joey had to say about working with Phil and what he felt the song did for End of the Century. So here we go, Baby I Love You by the Ronettes. Just so you know, Ronnie Spector, the singer, lead singer of the Ronettes, obviously was married to Phil. Phil was obsessed with her, but also brutally beat her for most of their marriage, which also a little bit talks about Phil, but I will get into that in his murder trial after these first two tracks. So here we go again, Baby I Love You by the Ronettes.
Yeah.
Baby, I Love You by the Ramones. Arguably my most favorite song on the end of the century, even though people despise it. But I guess that's understandable if you like punk music. But my beginnings was in punk back, I guess, when I was 12, which really wasn't that long ago, but it feels like ages ago for me. So yeah, let's see. I'm going to give you, or I'm going to read a little of what Joey Ramone had to say. "You either loved it or hated it," Joey told Uletsky, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that correctly, of End of the Century. "I liked the record. I wrote a lot of the songs and had a lot of ideas. I had more free reign. A lot of those songs wouldn't have sounded the way they do if someone else would have produced it. Like Danny says, and Do You Remember Rock and Roll Radio? Songs like that really sound great." The thing was, Phil had never worked with a band before, especially a band like us. His artists were more of his own conception, Joey continued. "The Ramones were a band, and we had our own focus, and Phil had his own focus, and in some ways it was a clash. The thing is, Phil likes to dominate and manipulate, so it was a little strange. But on the other hand, I felt like I was performing for the master. You know what I mean. I learned stuff from Phil. It was a kind of experience few people have." "It's a historical record," concluded Joey, "and one of the last ones Phil actually completed. He's a very passionate, high-drama person. I still admire him. Of course, I can say this now looking back on the situation, but during his episodes, nobody was enjoying or having any of it. All work ceased, and we were all pissed off with his drinking, his antics, his high drama, and the insanity." If you see the documentary about the Ramones, actually called End of the Century, they discuss Phil Spector, and he actually supposedly held them at gunpoint in his mansion in Hollywood and kept them captive there. These are some of the things that Johnny Ramone talked about in the documentary, which is definitely worth seeing. But it discusses how difficult Phil Spector was. To this day, which this isn't the most positive note to end on, I think he's, I'm trying to find my notes, today he is 64, and he's waiting for his murder trial, which I think, judging by the dates, will begin about like April 24th of this year, unless otherwise. I tried doing some research. I had a hard time finding stuff. But according to several officers, Spector told them after being detained, the quote, "I didn't mean to shoot her. It was an accident." And he's talking about actress Lana Clarkson, who was shot and murdered in his, I think, his mansion in Hollywood. He remains free on bail for $1 million. He is currently engaged to a 25-year-old girl named Rochelle Short, who still stands by her man. Her mother, Karen McDonald, says she couldn't be happier. She can't wait to have Spector as a son-in-law, which I don't know, could have to do something with money. Karen McDonald is probably the same age as Spector and was probably a huge fan of the music when she was a teenager. She says, and this is Karen McDonald speaking of her daughter and her fiancé, Spector, "He wouldn't murder anyone. He wouldn't even harm my daughter. He's a good man." But who really knows? As far as I know, the murder trial still hasn't happened, and there's no verdict, and we're not sure what the outcome is. But he's free, and he's out there, and he's got really crazy wild hair. But he produced a lot of great albums that will last forever, I hope. And I hope you guys, whoever is listening, learned a little bit about Phil Spector and the music and some of the stories behind the music. I did some research and the stuff about The Screw I didn't know, and I love this song even more now knowing the story behind it. So that was my little dedication to Phil Spector. I wanted to throw in, you know, Brian Ferry and the Ramones, and I wasn't sure how to do it, and I was like, well, why not just do a set to Phil? So that's what I did, and I hope you guys enjoyed it. And it looks like it is about 10:50. Wow, so I only have 10 minutes left of my show, so enough of all this like lovey-dovey crap. I thought maybe I'll play some rockabilly or whatnot. So Tune in again to next week, Lost in Paradise, here at KillRadio.org with yours truly, Angel Baby, every Wednesday, 9:30 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time.
Man, dig that crazy chick.
Who wears short shorts?
skinny mini, she's skinny, she's so, that's all. My skinny mini is a crazy chick. You know she's six foot high and round foot thick.
We'll be right back. those terrible boots.
You've been Lost in Paradise here at KillRadio.org with yours truly, Angel Baby, every Wednesday from 9:30 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Thank you for tuning in, and I'm going to shoot over to the archives, and I'll hear from you next week.